On today's episode of Big Time, the podcast with me, Tomas Tomas, our guest needs no introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, Lon Berthium on today's episode of Big Time, and things just got big time. Let's go. Right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another round of Big Time. We're on the road, Gore, Maine. Biggest episode yet, so big. I've got my executive producer here with me, Ethan. Let him know you're around here.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Give me a big time. Let's get a big time from the crowd. Everybody say big time to yourselves right now.
So we're coming from Gore, Maine. Ladies and gentlemen, we got Lon Berthium on episode 4. A big time. Lon, go ahead and say hello to the crowd.
How's everybody doing today?
There we go. This is a big deal for us.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. When we first came out with the idea for the show, Lon was like our mythical guy we wanted to get, and we got him on episode 4. So, and you said earlier you listened to the show, right?
I've listened to every episode.
All right.
It's good stuff.
I think it's important that we clear the air then, because on Ethan's episode, I asked him who his favorite phys ed teacher was, and he said Uncle Bob over your mom. So I don't know if you want to clear the air.
I gotta clear the air and squash any beef that might be out there right now, because for the record, I did love Sue. She was great. She was actually one of my favorite teachers that year. But that little altercation I had with Bob, it was just one of those man-to-man respect things. And just, it's one of those things I'll never forget. So, no harm to Sue. She's a great lady. And I apologize from the bottom of my heart, Lon. I did not mean it.
You know what? Actually, no hard feelings. There's a funny story. Is my only detention in high school was from Sue Berthium. I didn't really enjoy the square dancing part of class. And so we had a little conflict with that. So I ended up getting... my only detention in high school from Sue Berthium.
That was a thing, square dancing?
Square dancing. It was part of the phys ed curriculum.
I don't remember that.
And not only do you have like the discipline at school, then you got to go home and face mom again. So you get the discipline at home too.
Well, that's when I had to face dad, and that's when it got tough.
That's great.
So we're just going to follow the same template that we've been doing on Big Time. We're just going to go back, ask some questions, bring up some stories, touch on some things. I got to admit, I was, you graduated, what, 93, 94?
94.
Because I was 7 by the time you graduated. So I know the name more than I remember actual going to the games and stuff like that. But my earliest recollection, I think, Pee Wee basketball. Did you do Pee Wee basketball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So like the big thing with Pee Wee basketball is like the last event we did with Pee Wee basketball is we performed at halftime with the high school games. I think it might have been when you were playing.
With our little feathers?
Yeah, feathers on the back of the cap. Yeah. Was Pee Wee basketball around when you were growing up?
Pee Wee basketball. You know what? I don't remember the Pee Wee basketball. The first basketball I remember was really when you hit fourth grade. It was fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. You're all put together.
Yeah.
Fort Kent had a couple teams, and there was Eagle Lake, Waller Grass, and St. Francis.
Yeah. So no Pee Wee basketball for you?
No, I don't believe there was Pee Wee basketball then.
Huh.
It's the farm league they started trying to culture some talent from the early days.
So you came up in the 80s. Like, we looked up to guys way before us. Like, who were the guys that were kind of big-time players when you were coming up, when you were younger? Guys that were in high school at the time that you were kind of like, oh, wow, this is who I want to be like. This is who I got to try to outperform.
Yeah, you know what? I remember going to different games now. If we're talking basketball or soccer, I mean, I was running lines in soccer.
Oh, yeah.
So my father was the athletic director, and so, you know, I got a chance to get, you know, my $5 a game chasing balls down over the bank next to the river. you know, Bruce Tebow was the goalie. And then on the soccer field, you had guys like Charlie Albert, Paul Marchese.
Charlie Albert's a good, that's the first time he's been dropped in this.
Steve Perro.
Oh.
Pat Morrow.
Yeah.
And the soccer teams were always very good. Basketball, you know, some of the same names. Steve Jalbert actually was still a senior when I was a freshman. But he was another great athlete. Steve Perro probably was one of the most dynamic players in every sport. One of the things that I remember about...
I didn't know he played soccer.
Oh,
Oh yeah, he was very fast, very aggressive. You know, Timmy Desjardins, another one. He was a senior when I was a freshman. So there was a lot of guys that were influences when I was growing up. But, you know, they were tough guys. They compete. I mean, you had to bring it. There was probably going to be a fist fight in practice if you didn't.
Yeah, I can imagine with Tim Desjardins and those guys.
First game that I played in high school, it was one of those I'm going in on goal and the ball's going to get to the goalie before I got there. And I kind of had to leap over the goalie. He was going to probably take me out at my knees, and he grabbed me by my shirt and he said, "Don't you ever jump over him again. If a goalie comes out like that, you kick him right in the face." So that's the way he played. That's the way I think he coaches. And you know what? I don't think it's bad advice. No,
that's great advice. That's why America is soft now, because nobody has that attitude anymore.
We need more Tim Desjardins.
Exactly.
Did you play with Stevie Parra, or was he older?
He was older. I played men's league with Steve Parra.
Yeah.
Soccer, basketball, and softball.
Yeah.
Steve is still a household name, so I mean, he must have just been. I didn't really see Steve myself.
I just saw him with pickup. Yeah. I just saw him on Sunday mornings. Yeah. Yeah, he's we said the greatest 5'8" and under legend in forecamp probably ever.
Probably.
So, yeah, so that's a lot of great name drops right there. We're off to a good start on Big Time.
Did we even get a Big Time from Lon yet?
Yeah, do you use Big Time at all? Do you say Big Time?
You know what? Big Time's not Big Time's been in my vocabulary a lot more in the last month.
Okay.
all right.
You know, but the Big Time quotes that I used to remember were usually from Charlie and then Burby Time.
Burby Time. I was gonna say, I think the word started with those two.
I mean, you know, when I go back home and I'd hang out with those guys, you know, Big Time came around a little bit more often.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So let's talk about elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a conversation before about the legends that we played for when we came up. So when we came up, it was Louis Morrow, Don Murray,
Dave Minzy,
yeah. Travis DeLisle. Mm-hmm. Were those guys coaching when you were coming up?
They were coaching. I had Don Daigle in basketball.
Okay.
I had baseball, Mr. Terrio.
Oh, I remember Mr. Terrio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Science teacher, Terrio, right?
Too.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? I actually had in soccer one year, Jim McCluskey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was playing basketball. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame basketball player at UMFK.
You know, Joe McCluskey up there?
Yeah, his father.
Dad. Yeah.
All right.
But he was, I think he was doing some student teaching at the middle school at the time.
Yeah.
So he was coaching soccer. But you had coaches that stuck around a long time in the middle school.
Yeah, because that's the conversation we've had. Like, we compared the middle school coaches to, like, college legends, right?
I'm trying to think of some of the comparisons.
Yeah, so, like, Louis Morrow is like Jim Boeheim. Yeah, he's been there for, like, 50 years, little feisty, some wisecracks. Travis DeLisle, I think, I'd compare to this guy, Bobby Huggins right here, like a young Bobby Huggins at Cincinnati. Dave Minzy was like the young John Calipari on the rise because he was well dressed. He always had those Adidas sweatsuits that were very nice in the 90s.
True.
So
just always stylish.
Yeah, he was just remember like a young Jay Wright from Villanova.
Yes. Yeah. We had
Don Murray Scott was in that mix too.
Yeah, Don Murray was. Who would you compare to Don Murray?
Don Murray. Oh God.
I'm trying to think of just like a very wise, quiet, respected coach, and I can't
Rick Pitino. No, Rick Pitino's feisty.
Yeah, and too dirty, too corrupt.
Too dirty.
But Don was the high school girls coach for a little bit, right?
He was.
When you
he'd be like a Krzyzewski.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll go with that. Yeah, but he was a successful high school girls coach too, right?
Right. You know what? I believe he coached Neely's teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely forgot about that. Because I had my eighth grade year, and my dad told me, like, yeah, like he's a great coach. I listened to him. And he wound up being a great coach. So, any success in middle school? Did you win championships?
You know what? I can't really remember wins and losses from the middle school. I do remember that every team, they'd always like split up. Brad Curry would be on one team, I'd be on the other team.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's kind of how it went to start.
Yeah.
So I never really got a chance to play with Brad until high school. You know, and with baseball, it seemed like it was Chad Buescher on one team and I was on another team.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't really remember wins and losses. But I do remember kind of how they'd always split those teams up.
How about this? Do you remember anyone who peaked in middle school? Like, for example, we always marvel how Aaron Dumas like averaged 42 a game in eighth grade, but just didn't really pan out in high school. Was anyone like that? Or like Ben Raymond was dunking in middle school pretty much? Yeah. Or backwards max at least?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I wouldn't say peaked in middle school, but I would say Brad Curry was fully grown in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
Full mustache.
I was going to say, that was actually one of the questions I have for you today. Who had a better mustache, Tom Selleck or Brad Curry?
It's got to be Brad. You know, he was, I think he was 5'11 in fifth grade and 5'11 as a senior.
Yeah, he's one of those.
That's crazy.
That's great.
So Ethan, let's get to what Ethan asked real quick, because you had that question, but...
That was one of my Ethan asked, but that's okay. We can improvise.
Yeah.
I think people always remember, we'll get to it for the high school portion, but I think people always remember you on the court just because, you know, basketball is such a close-knit thing. And the way the fans were back then, that was Class A days. I mean, you packed the fans into the stage, basically. And, I mean, you had your game with 9 threes and some of those huge games in basketball. But I think people forget how good you were. And they probably don't forget how good you were, but it's almost like... Soccer, it doesn't get as remembered as much, but you were even more of an athlete on the soccer field. And you do you identify more as a soccer player or a basketball player, I guess is my question.
That's a tough one. I mean, soccer, I like basketball more, especially from a coaching standpoint, because I feel like I can be more involved in the game.
Right.
But I was a better soccer player.
Right.
So in high school, I was an All-New England player. And then went to college and was an All-American at Farmington. Right. And I actually tried out for some pro teams after
I had heard that.
After college. And it was called the Eastern Indoor Soccer League. It was like a hockey arena league.
Oh, jeez.
And cool. And so they had some combines around the United States. And the one I went to, I felt like I did a pretty good job. I didn't get drafted, but the deal seemed sweet to me coming out of college. So it was they'd pay us $300 a week, and they'd pay for our hotels and our food. And that seemed like $1 million to me at the time.
Yeah, expenses.
No expenses, $300. I said, you know what? That can last me a week. But you know what? I didn't get drafted. I ended up teaching school in Farmington where I graduated from. And that's when my coaching career started.
So let's move ahead in the timeline. Let's get to high school here. So coming in, freshman year. Were there big expectations for you? Like, were people aware of Lon Berthy coming into high school? I'm guessing you made varsity team his freshman year.
I did, but this was the tough part. I've got a 5'2" point guard that plays for me right now, and I look at her and I say, you know what? You were 2 inches taller than I was when I got to high school. I was 5 feet tall, and I was almost like a circus act, when I run out for warm up. So it was. My freshman year, it's not like I came in and made a big splash. I was undersized. When I started to grow a little bit is when I started to have an easier time competing. But learning to play when you're small and then getting a little bit of size certainly helps.
That's crazy. So we should probably split this up into soccer and basketball because kind of a big deal in both, right? Is your jersey, the soccer jersey in the trophy case?
The soccer jersey and basketball
is
jersey,
the
yeah.
Basketball one is, yeah. All right, so let's talk soccer first. So who was the coach when you came up freshman year?
Dave Minzi.
Yeah, Minzi was there forever.
Yeah. I didn't know he'd been around for that long.
No, nope. I had Dave Minzi for my whole high school career.
Yeah.
And
was he just getting started at that point?
No, he'd been around.
Really?
He might have been Paul Marquis' era.
Okay.
Because I think before that it was Terry Carpenter.
Okay.
But Minzi was there for a while. And we went to 3 Eastern Maine finals with him. Unfortunately, the silver medal each time.
Yeah.
But we always had good teams. We were ranked high in the standings, you know, usually 1, 2, or 3.
You were a forward, right?
I was a striker, yeah.
Who'd you have to compete with, I guess, was there, like, somebody that you were always, like, I guess, competing with that position for? Or were you just pretty much a shoo-in for forward?
You're talking on my team.
Yeah.
No, there were guys that were ahead of me that I worked in with. You know, we always played a couple strikers, so
right.
again, Timmy DeJardin was a striker when I was a freshman. And I told you how how he gave me the quick lesson. Adrian Marquis was another one that was an excellent striker.
Ski Meister too.
So you know, you get to practice with those guys, and I mean, bigger, stronger, faster. I mean, you learn to get better quickly.
That's crazy. So were you guys class A or B at that time?
We were class B.
Class B.
Class B.
So three losses, Eastern Maine finals. Were your teams, did your teams get better as you kind of moved up, like through sophomore, junior, senior year? Or like were the teams better when you were younger? Like, I'm just kind of curious, because I don't remember. This was way before my time, unfortunately. Right. But yeah, were you guys stacked the entire time or?
So, my first 2 years, we lost to Camden in the Eastern Maine final at Camden. So we were the lower. So we were actually the lower seed each time. My senior year, we had, I want to say it was 11 seniors on the team.
Oh, wow.
And we lost at Ellsworth. So we were always right in the mix at the top. There was always a different cast of characters. But, you know, like I said, my senior year with 11 seniors, you know, that was the year we really wanted to do it for Minzy too. I mean, he'd been there a number of different times with a number of different teams and kind of knocking on the door and never really got it got through.
Were you guys beating Presque Isle back then?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
We tied them once and we can never seem to beat them.
With those nasty games like Presque Isle, Caribou, Matt Town?
Yeah, those were all great games. And we beat them all. I mean,
you hear that, Presque Isle?
Yeah.
Once upon a time, we used to beat you guys.
I actually got a good Presque Isle baseball story for you a little bit later if you want it. But yeah, we beat them in basketball. We beat them in soccer. They were always good games. You know, I always felt like we were very close to championships with those soccer teams.
Now back then, this was before the lights, right? You used to play afternoon games.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
That's right.
Did anybody have lights back then, or was it all afternoon games?
You know what? I felt like Prescott was just getting lights at the time.
That was like a whole new thing. Like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember when those lights went in too, it was such a huge deal. I felt like they were building a stadium.
Yeah, like,
all of a sudden, this huge beacon of light over the high school.
Yeah, ribbon cutting ceremony, everything. It was a big deal.
The best part though is we used to be able to get out like in the middle of the school day.
That's true.
Because you had to get it in before it got dark. So yeah.
Did you guys play games at the elementary school too? I feel like I've seen high school games at the elementary
school.
Baseball, but I thought I saw soccer too.
Not as many. We actually used to play some high school games at UMFK.
Oh.
Which, again, that's one of the best fields in the entire state.
Yeah.
That's a great field.
I feel like all the facilities, like, I love the UMFK gym. I feel like if you kind of compare it to, like, some of the other colleges around the state, like, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. So you touch on UMFK. Were you, because we also came up loving the UMFK program. Were they any good when you were coming up? Did you go to games?
I used to go to basketball games.
Yeah.
Murph was the coach.
Oh.
You had... now McCluskey played, but before McCluskey, there was Juan Hernandez, Jeff Pillsbury, John O'Shea, Mike Owens, Mark Stillwagon. I don't know if you guys were too young to remember those names, but that was a cast of characters. Yeah. Whitey, and I can't remember his name, but he was a little point guard.
Yeah.
And then Mark Graham. He was a little bit later.
Graham. Their dad always says that Mark Graham is one of the best basketball players he's ever played with.
He was actually my basketball coach my freshman year.
Oh, shit.
So he wasn't playing at UMFK anymore. He took the freshman coaching position, and then after that, I think he did that a couple years, and then after that he was the girls' varsity coach.
Was he from Maine?
Yeah. Went to Skank High School.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He's from Maine, right?
Yeah.
And back then, both sides of the bleachers were packed at the college games, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep. I remember one game when I was young. There was a college guy there that was handing out rolls of toilet paper, and the very first points that were scored, everybody threw their roll of toilet paper on the floor, and it completely covered the floor. And again, as a little kid, you had a college guy going, hey, when the basket scored, you throw this, and I just did what I was told.
Yeah, that's crazy. Did you go to high school with James Harvey?
I did.
Holy shit.
James and I graduated together.
Okay.
I just saw him at the beginning of this basketball season.
Yeah.
So James was a teammate of mine growing up. So we played Little League together. We played middle school basketball together. And then as we got to high school and it got more competitive, he was the manager of all the teams. Scorekeeper for every sport.
Yeah.
I'm in a million team pictures of James. I keep in touch. I talk to him often.
Was he feisty in high school? Was he talking shit?
Still talk shit.
Yeah, you know what? He's a wise ass. You know, he actually texted me. We went through a small losing streak with the Gorham girls team, and he texted me before one of the games and told me to get my ass in gear and get us back on the winning track.
That's great.
Great advice.
Yeah.
He's like the ultimate sports fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he always gives, he'll text Sam and give Sam a hard time, like whenever the Cavs are losing and LeBron plays bad. Yeah. He's quite the guy.
He was running the clock for our game up there this year.
Still going. Yeah. See, like Harvey would be a good person to ask because Harvey hung out at the college at that time too. So I'll have to ask him next time I see him. We'll wrap up the soccer part here. Any games that stick out, or how about players from that era?
Biggest rivals.
Yeah, biggest rivals.
We'll get that question in basketball too. I can think of a few names.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, the schools that were up there. You know, obviously Madawaska, Fort Kent, it's a rival no matter what sport you play.
Was it competitive or were you guys pretty one-sided?
No, that was competitive. I mean, they were good. They had, Joey Kanaan, Pierre Michaud, Mark Hebert, John Clavette. They were good. And we had battles. You know what? I'd like to say that we got them every time, but we didn't.
Yeah.
They actually won the state championship for Class C. I think my junior year. So there was, there were some good battles. I mean, Holton was strong. Presque Isle and Caribou were strong. Caribou had Eric Salmonen, who I played good friend of mine, but I played against in high school and college. He went to the University of New England, so we battled through college too. Yeah. And it was funny because there were times on the field we're going at each other and. Then after the game, we're walking off together, and people couldn't believe it. By the way, we went at each other during the game.
So that's what I didn't realize. I thought that the Madawaska Fort Kent thing was like a one sided thing, or at least like when we were in high school, right? Like I don't think we lost the Madtown or anything.
No.
But this is the part I really want to get to here. Basketball. I'm excited about this part. All right. So you mentioned some of the guys that were you kind of watched growing up when you were younger. When you came in, who was there? Were any of the Gee brothers there? Was Lauren playing at that point?
Lauren was not. Nathan was.
Okay. You and Nate the same age?
No. Nathan's the same age as my older brother.
Okay.
So my older brother had a large group of friends that, this was Travis DeLisle and Jamie Michaud, Sean St. Peter.
Yeah.
Those guys, Brent Marquis, that it was like I had 10 older brothers.
Yeah.
Aaron wasn't the guy that was going to pick on me, but he wasn't going to stop any of his friends from doing it. So, so really, Travis was the one that would give me a lot of beatdowns like an older brother usually would.
Well, what kind of player was Travis back then? Because I just know Travis as the Sunday morning pickup guy who liked to foul and talk a lot. But what was he like in high school?
They're all the same.
He was a bruiser.
Liked to foul and talk a lot. Yeah. He was he liked to do a lot of coaching on the floor too. telling people to come set a pick for him, pass him the ball.
Yeah. were those teams any good?
Yeah, so we made the tournament as an 8 seed my sophomore year. So that's when Travis and Aaron and those guys were seniors.
Yeah.
And we lost to MCI. I think we got down early and, made a furious run to get back and make it a game, but just couldn't quite get over the hump. Chuck DeShane was another senior on that team. God, I think there was 11 seniors and 2 sophomores on that team. Brad and I were the 2 sophomores on that team.
So when did you kind of come into your own? Because you said you were very small as a freshman. Were you on varsity your freshman year?
So I got a chance to play a few games on varsity my freshman year. The freshman season ended and I had Mark as the coach. And then after that, I got moved up to play some JV, and then I think there was some ineligibility issues at one point with the varsity team, and so I got a chance to get moved up to the varsity team for a couple games.
Was that something your mom did deliberately? Did she fail some guys in the phys ed class? So
yeah, I don't think it was a phys ed issue. No.
behind the bleachers.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a grade ineligibility thing. It might have been a behavior ineligibility thing.
All right, gotcha. So you mentioned Murph was coaching at the college back in the 80s when you were coming up. Who'd you play for? Did you play for Murph at all in high school? Or?
3 years.
So who's the coach your freshman year?
Lloyd Soucy was the
coach?
Yep.
No way.
Yeah, he'd been the varsity coach for a little while. He stepped down, and Murph took that job, and we were very successful under him.
Did Murph have the Beaver back then? Did he start that when you were in high school?
The Beaver. I'm not so sure. I know.
I think it was the Beaver is what it was, is that whoever had the best game would get this like little Beaver stuffed animal or some shit. So that was like his game ball type thing. Like he had the Beaver.
So it's the hardest working animal.
Yeah. That's exactly the hardest working animal.
See, that's not something I remember from Murph. That's something I remember from Paul Marquis, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was passed down.
Maybe he brought it to Trape Academy with him.
I remember my brothers talking about it. I think Ben got the Beaver a couple times. I don't think Eric got it at all in high school, actually. Sorry. I know Eric's listening. Yeah. Not taking shots, buddy.
So you mentioned you got to Bangor your sophomore year. Mm-hmm. Got your first taste of the auditorium. What was that like?
It was awesome. I mean, now the floor was terrible, but being on the floor was awesome.
Yeah.
So that year, we were the 8th seed. We weren't really expected to do a heck of a lot. They had a guy named Jethro Ferguson that was really good at MCI. So it's like a mentality thing where you take a few steps. And that first year, I think the group was happy to be there, and that was kind of our goal, and we had met that goal. And I don't know that we were really ready to go much further than that.
Yeah. I'm guessing the entire half of the bank or the Fort Kent side was filled to the rafters.
It was. I always said that if I was going to start a life of crime, I'd go to Fort Kent during the basketball tournament when everybody was in Bangor.
It's true. Yeah. So you guys made it your sophomore year. Had there been a little drought prior to that? Because I don't want to toot my own horn, but my senior year class ended the 9-year drought.
Yeah, we never made it.
Yeah, but I was wondering if it was a regular thing, because I know you went there regularly starting sophomore year, right? And then Ryan Martin and those boys kept it going for a little bit. But prior to that, was there a drought, or were they going to Bangor?
I don't think the team had made it to Bangor in a long time. Really? So that's why it was a big deal. I couldn't tell you the last team that went. I seem to remember, I think when Steve Perro and Paul Marquis were playing, that they just missed that A spot by like hundredths of a point, something like that. So I think it had been a while.
I wish I could have seen Steve Perro in high school. Mm. Crazy.
You know what? I bet he plays similar now.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? I know years later. Mm. Yeah, right. He's like that guy that doesn't age.
Yeah.
Right? Probably still, you know, as fast, shoot it from, you know, 5-6 feet behind the 3-point line.
And just as feisty. Like, he wouldn't take shit.
Oh, and still try to fist fight somebody in the parking lot after.
Yeah, I remember just him and Travis Allow getting into it, like, routinely on Sunday mornings.
But he doesn't care that he's 5'8". He'll body
hold. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get there your sophomore year, and then junior year, what happened What happened from that point on?
Let's see, junior year.
When did Ryan and Corey and those guys get? Was that junior
or senior? Junior year. So they came in as freshmen. So my brother's class, they had 11 seniors, 2 sophomores.
Yeah.
So the next year, it was a clean slate. There was 2 returning varsity players, and Ryan and Corey came in, and they started right away, as they should have. But it was really good timing, and those were kind of the years where we started to really put a lot of points on the scoreboard.
Yeah. So were Ryan and Corey like the real thing coming in? Did you know about them as they were in middle school and stuff like that? Or
sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it worked back then.
No. You know, I knew who they were.
But you weren't gonna let them come in there and take your spot or anything like that.
You know what? They weren't necessarily ready at that time or want to come in and be the man. They both played their role really well. They could both score. You know, Ryan's got over 1,700 points and Corey's got over 1,500 points. I mean,
Corey was 1,000 rebounds too, right? Something like that.
Well, there should be an asterisk next to the 1,000 rebounds.
Because a lot of them were tipped to himself.
Well, I mean, when you get 700 rebounds off your own misses, I mean, think about how many assists I would have had if he'd have just made the first layup.
That's true.
We'll have to get Corey on the podcast.
Actually, that's one of my questions is And this actually came from Eric, but...
Is this an Ethan Ask?
It might be an Ethan Ask.
Let's do it.
Did Corey Thibodeau smell as bad as it looked like he
smelled? See, I did a lot of hanging out with Corey, not only in basketball, but I would say the answer to that is yes. And, you know, usually on a Saturday morning, you know, after hitting the round point or something like that is when you really got the full Corey.
That's a segue to actually another question is what was the spot? This is deviating from basketball. We'll come back to basketball, but what was like the spot to go? I know when we were coming up, Round Point had closed down and then it opened back up after I graduated high school, you know, a couple of years later when I was in college, but Costigan's is where we would try to go. Yeah. And I know La Canciel, I think, was closed before I was of age. So I had heard that was the spot. Like where did people go?
La Canciel was a good spot. It was a good spot because it had the two sides to the building.
Okay.
You know, it had the entertainment side and then it had the dance side.
Classy.
Yeah, classy, right? But Costigan's, see, I like Costigan's too because, and this is a dynamic that people don't really understand, is that in high school sports, you're not used to going out to a club and then seeing the people that you competed against. So you'd go out after a game and you'd end up seeing those guys from Madawaska or Van Buren or whatever. And I always thought that was a cool twist looking back on it. Now, I just thought it was normal then. But
back then, though, you're just like, what are these guys doing here?
Well, the funny part is, you know, you ended up being a little bit closer with them because it wasn't Fort Kent against Madawaska. Then it was the Americans against the Canadians.
Yeah,
you know, so when things got a little dicey, you kind of had to team up with who you know.
And that's funny, too, because it was the same exact dynamic when we were there. It's like some of my biggest competitors in high school that we were mortal enemies back then are some of my best friends now. And it's because we used to see each other out at Costigan's or Round Point or something. And it was that's so funny. It was the same exact dynamic. But that's about it for that one. But back to basketball.
Yeah, before we get back to it, we need some sponsors, especially for Ethan Ask. So any businesses out there, we'll take free stuff and we'll give you a shout out. Sponsor Ethan Ask. Back to basketball.
Gorm High School gear, maybe?
Can we get Gorm as a sponsor?
Gorm High School hoodies?
Yeah. Gorm Girls Basketball?
I like it.
Yeah.
I just like anything free.
He's like, I need sponsors too.
Look, Goodfellas?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm going to talk to Chad tonight.
Yeah, I was actually there this morning.
Yeah, we'll talk to Chad
tonight. They're just down the road. You couldn't even walk to Goodfellas from here.
That could even be their slogan. We're just down the road, Goodfellas.
Yeah. I think he mentioned that this morning too. He's like, oh, Lon was actually wanting me to sponsor him. He's like, I'll sponsor him when he comes in and gets a haircut.
My wife's a hairdresser, so that's my asterisk right there. My wife's a hairdresser.
Yeah, you hear that, Chad?
Yeah,
it's default.
Yeah,
but my son goes in.
Okay. All right. There we go. He's getting business then.
All right. Back to basketball. So, junior year.
Mm-hmm.
Any improvement from the 8th seed? Did you guys move up? Did you guys get back to Bangor?
Yeah, the 2 years blend together a little bit. We were at the high seed. We were the 4th seed. 1 year and beat Ellsworth.
In the tournament?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ellsworth was always in the mix for every sport.
Yeah, for every sport, right. We had some battles in soccer with them too. That may have been senior year.
There was Dexter 1 year, or was that when you had already graduated? I know. I'm trying to think of tourney games that I was at because of Eric. But there was 1 year they lost to Dexter. They had this 7-footer that nobody could touch. That might have been you might have already been gone by then.
See, that for us was Camden.
Yeah,
that was Camden. They had a monster of a guy, Dale Landreth, and Mike Geisler. And we just didn't really match up size wise. I mean, we were run and gun too, so we were looking to outscore you. And you know, I remember being up like 13 on them in the third quarter and just not being able to hang on. They just had too much size for us.
So did Murph just give you the green light?
Green light. It was awesome. Yeah. There was never a time that he said, "Lon, that's a bad shot."
Like, that's awesome.
There was there are times now as a coach that I would have sat me down and said, "You can't take that shot." They used to have the warrior head.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, right? were you pulling up from the warrior?
The warrior head. I mean, if I could get to the warrior head, I was looking at the hoop.
take us through that that 9-3 game. What was going through your head that game? Were you feeling it or? Was it just, did it just happen?
No, you know what? talking about green light, anytime I was close to the three-point line, if I felt like I was open, Murph wasn't going to say anything to me. And it's one of those games that you start making a couple, and the next time you catch it, you're going to look at the hoop, and you know, then you get a couple foul shots, and it's just one of those games that I sort of knew if I caught it, I had the green light and I was going to let it go. But you also had other guys on the floor that could score too, and those were the days that we were scoring, you know, high 80s, 90 points sometimes. So,
was that senior year, that game?
That was, God, I believe that was junior year.
Because that record still stands for guys. I know. I think Emily Pelletier got 10 and 11 one game, but I think I don't think anyone's touched it on the boys' end.
Well, I'm trying to think. Jason Netto, I thought.
I think he also had 9.
Yeah.
Jason Netto?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's true. He was lights out.
Yeah. And he was Ryan and Corey's year, too.
Yeah, they had a
team. You guys were stacked.
Yeah. So, green light from Murph. You're a 1,000-point scorer. Did you come on late, or were you pretty much like a consistent? Was it consistency, or did you have like a couple like big years, like junior and senior year?
Well, I didn't have any points my freshman year, so I probably had, if I had to guess, I'd say somewhere around mid 200s my sophomore year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was probably about a little over 400 each year, somewhere around there. If I had to guess, you know, I was averaging low 20s.
Yeah. You were a consistent scorer. You guys made it to Bangor. Did you have the honor of being interviewed by Legs Labby when he was working for the Valley Times? Like, was he constantly trying to get quotes after games or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, and he always had his camera around his neck. He was ready. Yes. He was ready to go because he was, it was like, Madawaska had Don Arnold and we had exactly. Legs. And no, he had his camera all the time. I talked to him a number of times, like, you know, he sat right there next to the court and, you know, he was always around.
Was he trying to like dig up dirt? Like, was he asking the hard questions, or was it more just like, can I get a photo and great games type of thing?
You know what? I feel like it was a lot of photos.
Yeah.
I don't know that he asked really any tough questions. He kind of took his game notes and then took the good photos.
Were you the type that, or was your mom the type that every time you had a picture in the St. John Valley, she cut it out? She took a little scrapbook.
I think I still have those. I still have those.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a thick book, probably.
Yeah.
It's a little different than now. I mean, everybody's got things digital and,
true.
You know, it's online and on their phones. But yeah, no, I had the scrapbooks. My mother, I think my mother would save the, you know, our schoolwork too. She had just these bins of things.
Yeah.
She used to pack rat.
That's a teacher thing, though.
Yeah.
My mom was like that, too. Did you have any, was Rainey Klucke running the show for, back then?
Or? Rainey Klucke was running the show. Yeah. I actually just went up, this preseason and he did an interview with me
did he?
And he's
did he remember you?
Oh yeah. He actually had an episode, or he actually did an interview with, Aaron Ouellette and Neely and I together.
Saw the Gorham.
It's a great Gorham piece. I did see it. It was a great piece.
Yep.
Shout out to Rainey Klucke. We got to get Rainey on the show at some point.
No, but he was doing it, back then. Yeah. Yeah, he's been around forever.
So let's talk accolades. One accolade that I missed out on that I'm very disappointed at, which would have been huge for me personally. I didn't make the All St. John Valley team. Did you make those teams?
Yes.
Probably both sports.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I made it in baseball too.
Did you?
Oh, we haven't talked about baseball.
Yeah,
we'll wrap up basketball and we'll get baseball. Yeah. So. Were you a McDonald's All State or All Star team?
I was not. I was not on the McDonald's team. That one was a tough one to get on for the A, because we were B then, and so it was the A-B schools, and with most of the schools being, and that's a voting thing, and so most of the schools in that, you know, that category were kind of those classes were not in the Northern Maine region, so it was tough to get votes from guys that didn't really see you play a heck of a lot.
Is that coach votes?
Coaches votes, yeah.
Which team was your best team, basketball wise? Was it senior year, junior year?
No, it was definitely senior year. You know, Ryan and Corey were sophomores. You know, we had played together a couple years, and you know, those were the years that again we were scoring. We were just scoring a number of points. We were, I don't know what we averaged, but it was probably 70 plus. And then you know, we hit 100 a couple times, and those were always fun.
What was the dynamic like on those teams with Timmy being such high scoring? You get three high scores. I don't know. I guess I didn't know Ryan. I knew Corey's personality. I didn't know Ryan's personality as much. I guess what was the dynamic like on those teams? Everybody get along? Or?
We got along great. Yeah. And it wasn't so much that one or two people were taking all the shots. I mean, we were getting up and down the floor. So there was just, I mean, we generated a number of different possessions. So everybody got their turn.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I'm guessing the atmosphere was pretty intense. As we mentioned, bleachers on the stage, cheerleaders, right? Yes, the cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah, cheerleaders. Back then, they had, it's not like what they wear now. They had the sweaters back then, the turtleneck sweaters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Vonderhaid, was he running the band at that point?
I believe he was.
Just an electric atmosphere.
I believe he was.
Those are good times.
Yeah. Did you guys run out through a hoop, like the paper hoops, like bust through that?
Yeah, we had the paper hoops. Those were awesome.
My God, they just did things so much better back then.
Yeah. Well, the sports were better back then.
The sports were a little better back then. You mentioned baseball. Were you good at baseball too? Were you just good at everything, or
we had like the same group of athletes that played every sport, and that's how it was. There aren't as many three-sport athletes anymore. The thing about baseball, though, is it was most people's third sport because the first time we ever got outside was your first game. I mean, you're playing in the gym for a month.
Yeah. Taking grounders off the hardwood.
Oh, yeah. You know, but it was something to do. We had a good time with it. Again, it's your same friends that you're playing three sports with.
You guys have any success?
We did win one playoff game, but we weren't a team that usually made the playoffs in baseball.
So soccer was probably, from a team success point, probably the best teams you were on in high school?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to talk about college here in a second. Ethan, do you have any more Ethan asks? Another one we can get to real quick, or you want to save them?
We can wait.
Okay. So before we get to college, one thing I do remember about you is that the thing about Fort Kent, there's kind of been cycles as to what the cool job is to work whenever you're in high school. Right now it's Al's Tasty Freeze. You can get a job at Al's, that's the spot. When I was around, it was Rock's Family Diner. Mm-hmm. So we had the best looking waitresses. I worked with Chuck Gagne, Jesse Jalbert, Sean Babb, and just a really good group of guys. Prior to that, though, it was probably the Fort Kent Rec Department, summertime, right?
Right.
You were a Fort Kent recreational...
I remember
what would you call yourself?
Yeah,
Were you a coach? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I was mentored by Mr. Paul Marquis, who is the sports coordinator.
I got a question about Paul afterwards, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So Paul and I would run the boys' programs. We'd coach the boys' teams, and then when Paul moved on, I stuck around. Because you asked about the rec department, I'm going to get to my baseball Presque Isle story that I was talking about. Okay. So you're talking about never being able to beat Presque Isle. So I'm coaching the baseball team, 13 to 15 year olds, and we're showing up and we're playing Presque Isle, and I can't figure out why we can't beat them in baseball. And then I look at their pitcher, their catcher, and their shortstop all pull up in their own cars to the game. And I said, so that's why you got all these older kids, right? So I decided the next time we were going to play them that I wasn't going to let that happen. So I went out and I had my own recruits. So so Chad Bushy pitched for me.
Yeah.
And then I had Burby Time. Now he always looked like he was older, even when he was of age. But no, I remember going, all right, get me your birth certificate because you're the only one I have to bring it for.
Yeah.
And I photocopied it. Then I changed it. And so I joke with him every year that on his birthday, I always send him the Facebook message that happy birthday, you still got one more year of that baseball, you know?
That's great.
Did you guys beat him that year?
We did beat him that year. So you just needed the right players.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Who were some of the other counselors or coaches at the time? Because like at that point, like when we were coming up, like you guys were like the best thing in the world to us.
Was too, wasn't you?
So the Markey family... So Paul,
all of them, right?
Kendra,
Andrew. Yeah,
Julie. Andrew was Julie a little bit younger.
Andrew was younger.
Yeah. So those were really the rec counselors when I was there, and then Nathan Gee after that.
Yeah, there wasn't more of you guys. That was it.
Well, then there was the pool staff.
I was gonna say, did the pool staff and you guys get along, or was that kind of like?
See, I got along with just about everybody.
Okay.
So I had no problem with the pool staff. No, it was a good time. Paul really kind of took me under his wing. But it was, you know what? That's where you really learn to start coaching. I mean, I remember actually you were on my T-ball team.
Back in the day.
So,
yeah.
The Black Bears?
And, yeah, the Black Bears.
I remember that. That was a purple grape. So we won one year.
The Black Bears, and we had, and this was the strategy. So, again, you got Julie, Kendra, Paul, and I. We all have a team. And, of course, you're really competitive with each other, right? And I understand why you make this rule. You say there's only a certain number of batters. But, of course, when there's the last batter up, every coach is trying to beat the other coach. So you always put your big bopper the last one. Yeah. You tell him just to keep running. So that was when we had J.J. Panette.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to remember your team.
Yeah. You and J.J.
Yeah. So
that was one of those. We had the same dynamic. Me and J.J. were always separated up until high school. I never played on a team with him until high school. We still do the same things, same practices.
Black Bears.
Yeah, those are good times. And one thing I always bring up on this show is that I have just a very random memory. And I'm going to see if this memory is correct. But I vividly remember for one of the basketball classes, like when you were teaching, you showed up in your car. Did you have like a little shitty Ford Escort, like 2-door? Or was it like a little Civic?
Okay, so that's actually another funny story. It was a Dodge Omni. So it was the hatchback Dodge Omni.
Yeah.
So as my parents, as each kid got ready to get their license, you know, I'm the middle child, right? Yeah. So my older brother, the family's ready to give up the family car and get a new car, right? They weren't ready 2 years later when it was my turn, so I didn't get one. Tyler got the family car. So when it was my turn to get one, they called me up at college and they said, I've got this car. We're going to bring it down to you. And I'm fantastic. I'm fired up, right? And it was an old Nextel company car that they got at Lakeview or Lakeside from Jim Violet.
Yeah.
It was white Dodge Omni with this big rainbow color splash down each side. And so that was the car they showed up at Farmington. I was pretty glad that I was established at Farmington already.
Yeah.
So I drove that car around for a while.
That's crazy. Yeah. I do remember that. Just random memory is you used to wear socks or sneakers with no socks. That was a thing for a little bit.
I don't know if it was no socks or if it was just the the tiny socks that were tucked down under.
Yeah. I think I might have transitioned to no socks in my shoes because you wore socks.
It was the little things.
Yeah.
So let's talk about college real quick. So you wound up at Farmington, which kind of prides themselves on being the UMFK of the West, right? Just a small remote town, like a teacher college.
Yep.
Anyone else recruit you or had to come down to Farmington?
Actually, two things. I didn't really get heavily recruited. I had Carl Henriksen at Presque Isle, and it was Strachbein at UMFK at the time.
Yeah. Was it just for soccer you were being recruited?
Soccer, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Farmington was the only school of the ones I visited that wanted me to play both. The Colby's college coaches each wanted me to play, but they didn't want me to play both. So I went to Farmington. Plus, my older brother was at Farmington. I'd been on campus. But I wanted to play multiple sports. Yep. So that's why Farmington.
I was Farmington. I've never been to Farmington. I've always been scared of Farmington for one reason. I don't know if she was teaching when you were coming up, but fourth grade, Miss Grindle. Remember Miss Grindle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was from Farmington, I think. And she was just the scariest teacher. So I've always been scared of Farmington. But, yeah, what was that like?
See, I grew up with Nathan Grindle. Yeah. So I'd been over at his house before.
Yeah.
No, Farmington was great. Like you said, small town. I ended up, after I graduated from there, I taught school and I coached at the high school for a couple years before I moved on.
What's the high school in Farmington? Is it just
Mount Blue?
Mount Blue is in Farmington. Yeah. All right.
Mount Blue. So I coached basketball there for a couple years, and then I decided I wanted to move to California, so I left Farmington. But Farmington was great. It was a small town, small school.
That's actually a good segue to my last Ethan S. question.
Okay.
All right.
What? So you were All-American for soccer 2 years?
Yes.
Yeah. What was it like being like a superstar on Farmington's campus? Were you like fending girls off? Did you have a bodyguard? What was that like?
No, you know what? We sort of ran in packs. Again, it was a small enough place that you end up knowing everybody. The good part is playing soccer and basketball. You walk into a party and you've got the 6'6", 6'7", 6'8" guys with you. Nobody's going to mess with you.
No.
No, we had some good teams. The teams were actually really close too. The different groups hung out together. It's probably very similar to Fort Kent. I would imagine that you're hanging out with just about everybody. You know, the other thing about Fort Kent, and this isn't really the college part, but the town of Fort Kent, like I remember going to BJ's and everybody from 18 to 80 was in BJ's. Everybody just hanging out together.
Not no more. Nope. BJ's is a dying
breed. I did swing by this year when I went home. I had to, and there was a lot of strobe lights and like two people on the dance floor.
Yeah, that's
except for when Tom DJs.
Yeah, I do it one night a year. I do the Hall of Fame weekend at the college, and we get it back. That's the only weekend I do it though. So when you were at Farmington, were you guys in the MAC?
Yep.
So yep. Competitive conference.
Yeah.
You guys weren't playing Fort Kent though, right?
You know what?
Fort Kent joined the MAC later on.
Yeah, we did play Fort Kent in soccer my first year.
Yeah.
But after that, we didn't play Fort Kent at all. You know, in soccer, we were at the top and we were competing with Husson and University of New England. Umpy was pretty strong. And then in basketball, Husson and St. Joe's were really, really the tough team. St. Joe's had some guys that probably should have been playing at a higher level than Division III. They were really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it used to be, the MAC is dead now, but for a while it was a great conference.
Yeah.
You pretty much had all the schools in the state in there. It's too bad that's died. Did you wind up playing Ryan at all when he was at St. Joe's?
I did.
Yeah?
I did.
Who got the best of that?
His team was better than my team was. Yeah.
St. Joe's. That's great. You guys competed after?
Yeah, we played a couple times. We did beat him once when he was playing. I actually think he was injured that game, to be honest with you. But they had a couple All-Americans on their team. Carl Howell scored like 2,500 points.
Yeah,
they were really good. No, it was fun playing against Ryan. I think when we beat him at Farmington, I remember his story where Rick Simons goes in at halftime and he's yelling at his team because Farmington's up on him. He goes, "I can't believe you're letting Lon Berthium from Fort Kent, Maine beat you." Of course, I think his ex-wife was from Fort Kent, so he might have been a little salty with Fort Kent.
No shit. So after college, you moved away,
mm-hmm.
went to San Diego for a little bit. Was the plan always to be a teacher and to coach? Or did you have other ambitions?
So when I was in college, it was to teach and to coach.
Yeah.
When I decided I was leaving Farmington, I'd been there. I was actually still living with my college buddies when I was teaching school for 2 years. They were on the 5 and 6 year plan.
Yeah.
And when they started to graduate, I said, geez, yeah, I'm not ready to just settle in at Farmington. So I moved to San Diego. And when I got out there, I wanted to try something new. I ended up selling cars 3 exits from Tijuana at this used car lot called Aloha Motors.
Nice.
I wore Hawaiian shirts for 4 years of my life. I was the only white guy slinging rides with all Mexican dudes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great place to be.
It was awesome.
So how did Gorm come up? I don't think we even mentioned it for all of our listeners out there. He's currently the coach of the Gorm High School Girls, reigning 2-time state champs, right, as we speak right now.
Right.
So how did Gorm happen? Was Gorm your first stop when you came back to Maine, or was there anything else in between?
When I left San Diego, I knew I didn't want to go back to like Fort Kent or Farmington. I wanted a bigger area, so I moved to South Portland. I hung out in Portland for a while, and I worked a couple other jobs that decided weren't for me, and I answered this, an ad. I started at Gorm High School as a long-term sub, and then it turned into a full-time gig. But as soon as I got there, I was asked if I'd help out the girls' basketball team, and honestly never thought of myself as being a girls' coach.
Right.
And I said, you know what? I'll do it. I started there, and, this is 13 years later. I did 2 years as an assistant coach, and then this is my 11th season with the varsity team.
So how does one go about becoming an assistant coach? Because it seems like it's a pretty exclusive club. Like, are you just hiring people from Fort Kent, or how's that working?
So I figured if we wanted to win, I had to get some more, Fort Kent Warriors on staff. So Aaron Willett's actually been with me for, the 11 years that I've been the head coach. And then Neely Joel and Nelson has been with me for the last 4.
Yeah. You want to add on to that, or you go with just the 2 assistant coaches?
You want a gig?
Not me, but like, I don't know. It'd be a bit of a commute for me right now, but I'm just curious. Like, is there room for anyone else on the bench? Or are you guys good right now?
So I actually last year, I had the other teams, when we go to away games, would have to put out more chairs because I had five coaches, I had five managers, yeah. and then I had my team. And I always used to, you know, get some shit because they'd say I had too many coaches. I say, look at all the successful programs. You know, you got all the guys in the suits and the ties. And I thought everybody on staff brought a lot to it. And I wasn't about ready to trim it down.
Gotcha. And you've had some incredible players as of late. We were talking about this earlier. You've been pumping out D1 players. You're going to be going for a while, or are you going to try to move up to something bigger and better at some point?
I don't see myself, leaving for another program. We've had a good run of players. I mean, kids that are working hard and trying to get better. You know, I was talking to you, the team I had 2 years ago, currently a player up at USM right now, who's been the New England Women's Basketball Coaches Association Player of the Week, a few times, and the Maine Basketball five times. I've got one that played on that team that's on Alcorn State's roster, one that's at Villanova, girl that's at the University of Tampa that's potentially going to walk on next year, and then I currently have the fifth starter in that group who's a junior that's being recruited by Indiana and Iowa State, and
that's crazy.
A number of big schools. So it's actually interesting because the Division I coaches now, they want to come and watch practice.
Oh, really?
And so
you should use that and freaking get a D1 job somewhere. Yeah.
Right. No, early on that made me nervous. Now it's just something that I think is pretty fun.
As long as you get the free year, right? Like
it's just, see, I can't get the free though. That's recruiting violations, So I can't really get the free gear.
Yeah.
It's a purchased Villanova.
Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, I think that's why Patino's not coaching anymore.
Right. So we always see these guys going back to their alma mater and then kind of like completing their coaching circle. What if Fort Kent came calling? You going to make that move?
Ooh, see, that might be one of the jobs. See, the only tough part about that is I'm spoiled now where if I'm going to scout, you know, I'm going 15 minutes away. Our away games, I'm riding on the bus for, you know, my longest trip is probably like 40 minutes.
That's crazy.
So that part would be hard. The scouting part would be hard.
Yeah.
But I would definitely entertain that offer.
No shit. Yeah. I could see that.
Special gym.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of that gym, I gotta get this story confirmed or denied. I don't know if I dreamed this or not. All right. But I'm pretty sure this happened. And I don't know why, like, it slipped my mind for like 9 years, and it just popped up like this week when I was getting ready for this huge interview. It was either my junior or senior year in high school, and it was during Christmas break, and Tim Farrow was our coach, and he wasn't around. He went home for the holidays, but he organized like a self-practice type thing where he just wanted us to go in there and shoot around a little bit. And then I had talked to Charles, and Mitch had talked to Aaron, talking about, why don't you guys show up afterwards and we'll play pickup. And so, like, we're getting done, and then Charles walked in through the little locker room door on the far end, and then we saw Aaron walk in, and we start playing. And then I could have swore, and I don't think I'm making this up, but I could have swore you came out to that door and you played pickup with us. And this would have been back like in 05, but this might help jog your memory as well, because also that weekend, Eric Warrington had put together like an alumni tournament at the college.
Okay.
And like Fort Kent had a team, Caribou had a team. Madawaska had a team. There was a big ass tournament at the college.
I do remember that.
Yeah, and like Ryan Martin was there. Yep. Corey Thibodeau played.
So it was all alumni playing against the other school's alumni.
It was that same weekend, and I'm pretty sure that you came to play pickup with the high school.
I was around. I remember that weekend. So I feel like the Fort Kent alum didn't have a ton of players. I felt like we had like seven players, and Madawaska had like 30.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like Coop and Andrew Clavette and all those guys.
Yeah.
But I could have sworn that happened. Like, we were playing pickup at the high school, and then Charles and Aaron came in, then you walked in, and then I swear to God, I thought Ryan Martin showed up too.
So if that's the same weekend, he was there that weekend.
Yeah.
We were both there that weekend. But I remember that alumni tournament. That might have been the reason we were there.
Yeah, that was probably, because I played one game with you guys in the alumni tournament, and then I had to go to work, and I got pissed off because Sean Babin wouldn't give me the day off because I wanted to play. Because Tom Pelletier, I'd like to play too.
Did he? And yeah. Your dad was playing.
Yeah, right? Dad. And I wanted to play with the guys all day long, and I couldn't because Sean Babin made me go to work.
Actually, maybe legend, that's man. Why we're a little shorthanded, because of Sean Babin. You had to go to work.
Exactly. But I could have, like, that's like the ultimate, like, pickup dream. Like, yeah, like, Lon Berthium and Ryan Martin walked in the gym and played pickup with us.
Maybe one day, big time, we'll spur something.
Yeah.
A Four Ken alumni, big time.
Yeah. Big time tournament. All right, so we're coming up on the end, but we saved everyone's, well, not everyone's, but one of our segments for last. Charles Bard Wonders. Charles has some questions for you. I'm just going to play them. I'll edit it in afterwards so it sounds better. But I'll let Charles go from here.
Lon. Yo, Lon. Can you hear me? It's Charlito. It's not a poor connection. It's your hearing, man. You're 40 years old. God damn, dog. Where'd the time go? Listen, pretty excited to be able to call in here. Tom says he was interviewing a Four Kent icon, and when, I was a little disappointed when I found out that Ryan Martin and Corey Thibodeau weren't available, but hey, we'll ask you a couple questions here. First question is, what do you think through your high school years, who was the best athlete in the Aroostook County? Let's talk basketball. Who gave you the hardest time on the court? Who was your most difficult opponent?
So, hardest time, most difficult opponent. I mean, there were a number. It sort of depends on position. I'm going to go by position, okay? It's somebody that guarded me, because I will say that Madawaska had Pierre Michaud, and he was tough to deal with, but we didn't really play the same position. So I'm going to go with... God, I have a couple. Eric Salminen and I were the same year, and so we battled all the time. And this is a funny story. So I was coming up on my 1,000 points, and I knew he was going to guard me. He always had. And we took a soccer tour in my junior year, so we had traveled to England and France together, so I knew him. I needed 30 points. The game before against Presque Isle, I scored 26. So I only needed 4, and I knew I was getting 4. And I called his house. That was before cell phones, right? So I called his house the day before, and I asked to speak to him, and I told him I was going to get my 1,000th point on his face, and I hung up. That's awesome. So I'm going to go with him. The only guy you can really call and shit talk before you're going to get your 1,000 points. And so I remind him of that as often as I can.
That's great.
That's good stuff. Great question, Charles. Normally, Charles just wonders one thing, but he has 3 today. So we'll get to number 2 from Charles Wonders.
Yeah, all right. I got another pretty good question here, but before I ask, I'm just wondering, did Aaron and Tyler show up? Like, those guys are like the Eli Manning and the Peyton Manning of the Berthium family. You're like that third brother, Cooper Manning, nobody's even heard of. Shit, you're practically like the Sam Bard of the Bard brothers. God damn. Now, listen. We'll go back to your age. You're 40 years old now. Christmas kind of just passed. Is it true that for Christmas this year you got a pair of slippers, a life alert bracelet, and a stocking full of Viagra? Explain that to me, man.
I don't even know how to explain that one. You know, that sounds like a Canadian care package coming through. It doesn't sound like something Santa's going to bring me, but something maybe that got shipped over from Halifax.
Yeah, all right. Charles is on fire. Number 3 from Charles Wonders. This is the last one.
Last one for you, my dude. I just wanted to start off by saying you've always been an idol of mine. Growing up, I always admired you on the soccer field, basketball field. You were out there doing your thing. It was impressive. I mean, you made it cool to be 140 pounds and fluorescent white, just cruising around the soccer field and basketball court. You must have spent like all summer indoors training for basketball, because goddamn, you were white. Listen, I grew up idolizing you, admiring your athletic ability. Who did you kind of admire or respect growing up? Like, who did you follow? Is there anybody you wanted to style your game after locally? And yeah, that's all I got for you, man. So it's been an honor. You're the man. That's all I got to say. Over and out. Peace out, Charlito.
All right, so I've got a couple, and we've talked about them a little bit. I mean, these were guys that were a little bit older. You know, I spent a lot of time with Paul Marquis, you know, working with him, but also playing on men's league teams and stuff like that, and then Steve Perro too. But then I moved on to coaching with Paul, and then coaching against Paul. So I actually coached with Paul at Trape Academy And coached a couple guys that went to Fort Kent. So Rob Rochester and Mikey Sinclair. You know, so I got a chance to coach with Paul. So if I'd say influence, I'm going to go with Paul Marquis. I also have a Charlie story, if you
want. Yeah, I was going to say, normally do give us a Sean Karen story, but I was wondering if you could give us a Charles Bard story to end the podcast here.
Okay, so we got a Charlito story. So when I first started with the girls basketball program, I was hosting a tournament down here, and I invited Fort Kent. That's when Fort Kent had Marissa and Taylor and Emily. They were really good, and Travis was coaching, and so I invited them down, and I wanted Charlie to come down and ref.
Yeah.
And at that time, Charlie was looking to move up the ranks, and he thought it would be a good help in his career. And so I had to pull some strings because the Western Maine board wasn't happy that we were going to get this Northern Maine guy and come down and take one of their spots. And so Charlie came down. I finally pulled enough strings. He came down, and one of the things I'll always remember is Charlie was, you remember that movie, The Naked Gun?
Yeah.
So you got, was it Leslie Nielsen? Leslie Nielsen, yeah. Like when he's calling balls and strikes behind the plate, how animated he was. So that was Charlie on the basketball court. And he also liked to report fouls with two hands like the pros, right? So he'd flash up the two hands, but his favorite call was the block charge.
Oh, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So it was, and I think sometimes he would just call the block even if it was a charge because he wanted to jump out, he wanted to smash his hips a couple times, and he wanted to count the basket, you know, and one. And so, he definitely, if we were filming those games, I wish I had some film of that because he was the most, just like Leslie Nielsen, behind the plate.
Yeah. Charles, you missed your calling. You should have just become an official. Moved to Southern Maine and just kept it going.
He should have stuck with it.
Yeah. Ethan, you got any last questions before we get up out of here?
Charlie just took all the
I got one more question. Do you still play at all? You play
Do you play soccer at all?
You play pickup basketball at all still?
You know what? It's funny you ask. I have been playing a little bit of pickup basketball.
Yeah.
There's actually this this guy that my son plays AAU with, his son that He's got a half court in his house.
Oh, shoot.
And and he's got a bar in his house that looks like it should be in the old port. Nice. And so we play some 3-on-3, and then afterwards we hang out and watch a game. And so I have been playing a little bit. Right now, not during basketball season. There's too much practice time with my team. But it's fun.
I like it.
Is little man gonna follow in dad's footsteps or?
You know what? He's my stepson's starting for the varsity team right now. He's a sophomore. They're a young group. He's actually captains with Neely Joler's son. So Tom Nelson and Nick Strout are two of the four captains. They're a young group, so there's some growing pains, but they're fun to watch.
Nice. We'll have to look out for that. At some point, since pretty much all the Fort Kent lives down here in Portland now, we'll just have to get an alumni game down in Portland at some point.
Some pickup, at least.
Yeah, we'll just get some pickup going. We'll try to get that going.
Just do me a favor. Let's find a gym that's got a warrior head on it.
Yeah, I think you can pull up on that. Yeah, we'll see if we can make that happen. Well, Lon, thank you for coming on Big Time. This is giving us a sense of legitimacy right here. Like, this is Big Time. So
I don't know if I threw out Big Time. Well, I'm actually disappointed going back. I didn't throw out the Big Time.
We didn't even ask him what his drink of choice was right now, too.
It's true. This is usually the first question of the episode, but Lon, what were you sipping on during today's episode?
That is a Natural Light. The Natural Light is what I like to call the Hannaford Bud Light.
Nice.
And it was actually Fran's drink of choice growing up, and so it was probably the first beers I started stealing.
Nice. Executive producer Ethan, what were you sipping on today?
I was sipping on a Mick Ultra, which is another special light beer, and we actually refer to them as Corbin Steels in my inner circle of friends, but she's empty now. But we also we got a little bottle of Allen's on the bar top right now, just staring us down, so we might tap into that.
We might have to take a little sip of that to close it out. But yeah, Lon, thank you for coming on. This was huge for us. You were like our dream guest when we first put this together, so thank you for coming on.
This was a lot of fun. I'm happy to do it, and I'm anxious to listen to the future episodes.
That's huge. That's Big Time. So thank you for listening. And hey, we got some more big episodes coming up, so make sure you check them out on iTunes. But with that, we're out.